You're already well known, aren't you?
Thank you for joining us for Party Line this morning as we decide who's going to be my co-host today. And you can see it on the screen. Now, Commissioner Bert Weaver is here with me today, going to be my co-host. And we got Jordan just left. He's got wheat. He's trying to get it taken care of because we may have, let's hope not during fireworks, but we may have some rain over the weekend. Just a reminder, it is extreme heat warning right now. We are in a heat warning, which means that the heat index could be up to 110, and that goes on until 8 p.m. this evening, and then we switch over to a heat advisory in effect from 8 p.m. this evening until 9 p.m. tomorrow night. So extreme heat. Possibility of some pop-up thunderstorms and showers. We'll hope that those don't happen during fireworks time, but keep your pets, keep your children, keep everybody safe. Check on your neighbors, especially your elderly neighbors. Please check on them, make sure everybody's okay, and just be safe out there. We're going to move on. Bert, how you doing?
Just fine.
I'm glad to see you.
It's rather warm out there, like you just said, so people need to really be careful.
Yeah, most definitely. We want to make sure that they take care of themselves, for sure. As a special guest this morning, Bert and I have the Indiana State Fire Marshal, Stephen Jones, on the line right now. Mr. Jones, how are you?
Great. It's good to be here and getting ready to celebrate July 4th.
Well, we really appreciate you being a part of the show this morning, and I know we talk a lot about fireworks safety, but I don't think we make it hit home until unfortunately emergency services ends up being called into the picture. I wanted to talk to you about some of the fireworks regulations, the safety of them, and what your office is responsible for when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's important. I mean, everybody wants to celebrate the 4th, and I want them to celebrate it, but do it safely. You know, and I think the biggest thing is that people don't realize that fireworks isn't for children. You know, we just see way too many injuries. I think generally across the nation, we have 13,000 firework injuries, and typically they're all during the month of July. And the worst thing, you know, is to get the family together and be wanting to have a good time, and then it's all stopped because somebody's got a serious injury. And my drive and what I do is try to keep all the Hoosiers safe in the state of Indiana. So I don't want to put a damper and make July 4th a memory that is a negative memory that people will have the rest of their lives.
Well, besides injuries, what's some of the risk factors that you have especially with your office and emergency services in general? What, besides personal injury, what are some of the other risk factors that go into fireworks?
Well, fireworks are responsible for a lot of fires in Indiana already. I think Indianapolis had a whole apartment building that was burnt down a few days ago here in the city, in the state's capital. But just almost $100 million every year is property damage due to fires that have occurred by fireworks.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, you know, and especially this time of year, it's difficult because it's hot already, but our public safety servants are having to work in this heat with fire gear on, and it's real dangerous for them. It's typically their job's dangerous anyway, and then we add this heat on top of it. It makes their job extremely difficult, but they get out there and do it day after day.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize the firefighters, their average gear weighs, what, roughly 75 pounds?
Yeah, roughly 75 pounds. And so you can imagine just going out in the morning right now. It's stuffy and hot, and put fire gear on and then go outside and stand out there for an hour. It's a difficult job.
Very much so. I know right now in the forecast we're seeing a little bit of the possibility of pop-ups and that kind of thing, which is always a welcome factor, especially when we're having this kind of heat. But if we don't get that rain, we're going to be pushing the idea of possibly drought situations and very dry conditions, and that means burn bans. How does your office assess that the conditions out there to issue burn bans and get that information out to the counties so that the county officials can make those kind of determinations?
Well, you know, you speak to it as Indiana weather, right? Because our weather conditions change quite quickly in the state of Indiana. But all the weather conditions are not the same throughout the state of Indiana. And so the way that we have engineered it in Indiana, the local fire chiefs actually have the ability to issue burn bans. It doesn't come from us at the state level. Just the way these storms pop up, storms, and the way Indiana has its own weather internally, the local fire chiefs get together, and typically they get together with their local county commissioners to issue the burn bans. And what we do at Indiana Homeland Security, we have a website that if you Google Indiana burn ban map, you can pull up the map and you can see whether your county is in a burn ban. So it's all about local people making those decisions, fire chiefs and county commissioners getting together, because the weather across Indiana is so different in all the different areas.
What is, and again, we're speaking with Indiana State Fire Marshal Stephen Jones. What, in your job, what is probably one of the most fascinating, calls or things that you've had to investigate on your end? Because I don't think a lot of people realize what the State Fire Marshal's office does.
Yeah, my office is very vast in its services that we do across the state of Indiana. It's the oldest public safety agency in the state. It started in 1913, and it has evolved into a very big public safety assistance for the people of the state of Indiana. All of it is very interesting, but we assist fire investigations across the state. We offer hazardous materials assistance, radiation assistance. We provide code enforcement across the state. We make sure all the carnival rides in Indiana are safe, elevators. We also are now taking on weights and measures. So we're involved in everybody's community in the state. But we see a lot of everything in the state, so I can't really just pick out one specific area, because sometimes we see some very terrible, tragic events that happen across the state. We also see some great things when people have done emergency planning, that we've had something pretty significant go through the state, such as weather, and we have people that are not injured because they follow all those safety steps that they need to.
Well, I know you said you do code enforcement, and of course there's a lot of codes out there for our government officials to, and our emergency services to navigate through. But when you're talking about emergency plans, do all government agencies, I know they put together emergency contingency plans, but do they need to submit those to the state so that you have them, so that you can look them over and say, hey, you might want to think about, you know, maybe implementing this or changing that, or is that one of your jobs?
Well, it's not specifically one of my jobs. We have emergency management in the state, in Indiana Homeland Security. and they are constantly working with businesses, with government entities across the state to help with all kinds of emergency plans for earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, anything that can affect the state drastically. Indiana Homeland Security is engaged with local government officials, with private entities, trying to make for sure that we've developed plans no matter what comes across the state, that our state has done the best job that it can do to be prepared for those incidents.
Statewide, how does that work with your office if we have just a major, something major happen here in the state? Coming through Homeland Security, what's kind of the chain of command, and how does all of that work?
Well, one of the great things about the way we operate in the state, we have employees practically in every county. When we have a disaster, and I'll use the tornadoes as an example, Sullivan's probably my best example of when the tornadoes went through Sullivan. They lost all radio communications. They lost all telephone communications. So they couldn't notify us about how bad the damage was and what they needed. And so we have employees, and we called them and said, hey, we need you to put your eyes on it. And then we had people, and I drove out to Sullivan to assist them, and IPSC, which is now the Office of Communications within our office, sent equipment to be able to bring telephone service and communications back to that area with the equipment that we were able to bring in to help get their communications back up and start helping them with their big incident that they had. So once we find out something's going on, we get our people in motion to start seeing what is needed in the ways that we can help.
I mean, as we're going, we talked a little bit about firework safety and everything, but as we go forward through the summer months with the heat and everything else and the dry conditions, what's your advice to the general public? What would you like for all of them to take away from speaking with you today, and what kind of advice would you like for them to follow?
Yeah, first thing is, fireworks are not for children. They're for the adults to use. And the stuff that needs to go way up in the air, just leave it to the professionals to do. Whenever you have a firework that you've lit and it doesn't go off, don't try to relight it. Just soak it in water and get rid of it. We recommend eye protection because a lot of the injuries are to eyes where they shoot off and hit them in the face. The disposal of fireworks is to have a bucket of water, and when you're done, to take all the fireworks and put them in the bucket of water and leave them there overnight. I think you even talked about it early, or just take into consideration the pets. You know, and don't let them run around. Another big one is be cognizant of your neighbors, because typically people are shooting fireworks and they're landing in somebody else's yard. Indiana law states that if you're going to shoot those off, they need to stay in your own property, not shoot them off in the roads. And those are probably the big things that will keep people safe.
You mentioned Indiana law. Is there like a curfew, for lack of a better term, for on fireworks and stuff?
Yeah, I think it's typically 11 o'clock. And of course, and I just all over Indiana, they're going off 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Just be, like I said, be mindful of your neighbors. If we don't get them shot off all on July 4th, and it's late at night where people are trying to sleep, shoot them off the next night. And I want to make a mention about the sparklers, because typically those are thought to be children fireworks. Those things get to be about 2,000 degrees. And so sparklers really are not intended for children because they are very hot and they can cause permanent injuries to children. So we just want people to be safe. We don't want people to get injured in Indiana as we celebrate our 250th birthday.
Well, Fire Marshal Jones, I really appreciate you being on with us. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, and I hope you and your family enjoy the holiday as well.
Yeah, no, appreciate you having me, and be glad to come back at any time.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, and have a great day.
All right, you too. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Pretty cool. Great information.
Did a good job.
Yeah, fantastic. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and Bert, Commissioner, Clinton County Commissioner Bert Weaver and I, we're just going to have fun today. We're going to have discussions on anything and everything. Phone lines are open. You can always call in, 659-3338. We'll be back to Party Line here in just a second.